John chapter 11, we're going to start with the verses 1 through 11. So John chapter 11, beginning with verses 1 through 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for, again, just the evening that we can have together in the middle of a week. Father, I ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word. Guide us, Lord, according to your will. As always, Lord, help us to be reminded of the things we need to remember. Help us, Lord, to learn what we need to learn. Help us, Father, to be able to apply it to our lives. Father, I ask that you would be with the kids in Kid Venture. As always, Lord, open up their hearts to the teaching of your word. Help them have fun with the games. And I pray, Father, as always, Lord, that you would just draw us closer to you tonight. Lord, whatever it is we may need tonight, whether it's encouragement, whether it's direction, an answer to prayer, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, give us ears to hear. And Lord, I ask that it all would be honor and glorifying to you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, we're very familiar with the account of Lazarus and Jesus coming and raising him from the dead. And tonight, I want us to just think about and to consider the powerfulness of Jesus, that he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. There's no limit to his power. And you think about just the different miracles that Jesus has done, turning the water into wine, giving sight to the blind, giving strength to the lame to be able to walk, cleansing the lepers. This is the greatest moment that testifies of who Jesus is, the fact that Jesus has power to raise anybody from the dead testifies that he truly is God, because only God has that power to give life. And when you think about just everything that's going on in the Gospels and we get to this place, I find it very interesting, and we're going to go over this, but the fact that right off the bat, when you're reading these verses, and you see that word comes to Jesus that Lazarus is sick, and his sisters want Jesus to come because they know that Jesus can heal Lazarus. They believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Christ. And they don't hesitate to send word to him that he would come and heal his friend. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and Jesus loved him very much, as the Bible tells us. But Jesus decided to remain where he was at for 2 more days. And we'll get to find out why Jesus chose to remain there for 2 more days. But oftentimes, with the power of Jesus and Jesus having all power, I always want to remind us that the devil may have some power, but Jesus has all power. Nothing happens without God allowing it. And when God allows something to happen in one of his children's lives, in a life of a believer, it is for God's glory and it is for the good of that person. But I want us to think about, why did Jesus show his omnipotence in this manner? Why did he perform such great miracles throughout the Gospels? What was his purpose in raising Lazarus from the dead? And Lazarus is not the only one that he raised from the dead. There were a couple of other ones that he raised from the dead other than himself. And we'll look at those here in a little bit. But I want us to think about the reason why Jesus chose and had a purpose in raising Lazarus from the dead was, number one, it's always to glorify God. Jesus came to glorify the Father by fulfilling the Father's will. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Bible says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus wanted people to see the glory of God. And the disciples saw the glory of God, as John even writes this and says, "We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." John was one of the three on Mount Transfiguration when Jesus transformed himself into all of his glory, and he was there on the mountain, and Peter was the one that said, you know, "It's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." But obviously the voice of God rained down into their ears and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." But again, Jesus wanted to glorify the Father, wanted people to see the glory of God. And the second thing is that Jesus wanted them to believe on Jesus, who God had sent, the Son of God. In John chapter 20 and verse 30, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through him." I mean, just the fact that when you read in the Gospels and you look at all the different miracles that the Bible testifies and records that Jesus did, that's not all that he did. He did many, many more miracles that are not written, but the ones that are written are to prove who he is and to help us to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the fact that he does have power over death. But even though Jesus would raise Lazarus from the dead, he would raise two other people from the dead as well, there were always those that still would not believe. Sometimes people say, well, you know what? Seeing is believing. Thomas, doubting Thomas, said, "I will not believe that he's risen from the dead unless I see him." And Jesus appeared to Thomas and showed himself, and Thomas realized that that Christ was alive, he had risen from the dead, but Jesus told him, "Blessed are they that believe and have not seen." But sometimes we think, you know what, if Jesus would just show me, then I'll believe. But that's not necessarily true, because many in this day saw the miracles that Jesus did and still rejected him as being the promised Messiah, rejected him as being their Savior, because their hearts were hardened, because they did not want to humble themselves and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our account tonight, I want us to see, first of all, the purpose of Jesus at Bethany. The purpose of Jesus at Bethany. Now, look, if you would, again, at verse number 3. "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples saying to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Now just stopping at verse 8 for a moment, if you were to back up to chapter 10, you would see where Jesus was in Jerusalem before, and they wanted to stone him because he said that he was the Son of God. He testified that he was in his Father was in him, and they were one. And they took up stones to stone him because they looked at him and they knew that they thought he was blaspheming, calling himself the Son of God, making himself to be God. So his disciples are warning him, hey, they sought to want to kill you before, and you want to go there again? In verse 9, he says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Jesus wanted to go and awake him out of sleep. And that might for some seem kind of odd that Jesus would use the word sleep when it was said that Lazarus had died, because no one really dies. To die is to never live again. But every single person, when they physically die, they will live again. There is a resurrection that's coming for God's people, and there's a resurrection coming for the lost as well. Again, Jesus saying that he's going to wake him out of sleep. Look at verse 12. Again, his disciples didn't understand. Then said his disciples, "Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking rest in sleep." Again, what I want us to understand out of these verses, just to start with the fact that Jesus delayed his going to Bethany. Jesus delayed his going to Bethany. The news had come to Jesus that his friend Lazarus was dead, but he stayed where he was at 2 more days. Now, about you, many times you probably have gotten a phone call that a relative was in the hospital, maybe a close loved one was near death, and you were being given an opportunity to come and to say your goodbyes, to see them for the last time before they would depart from this world into eternity. And maybe you didn't make it quite there. There's been plenty. I know my grandparents that had passed on, I was not able to go back to Mississippi to the funeral. But that was okay because I had fond memories and still have fond memories of them. But sometimes we do. We like to go and pay our last respects to those that are near and dear to our heart. But Jesus decided to stay where he was at for 2 more days after he had gotten news that Lazarus was dead. In verse number 6, just notice. We really got to think about this. You know, there's a purpose for everything that God does. God never does anything without a purpose. In verse 6, when he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Again, Mary and Martha were about to learn. They had sent word to him, but they were about to learn that what seemed to be a delay on our timetable is not a delay on God's timetable. God is always on time, and God is always right, and God does love and care for each one of us. Jesus had not forgotten about Lazarus, nor had he stopped loving Lazarus because he stayed 2 days where he was at. Now, I want you to consider Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. "For consider him," speaking of Jesus, "that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Now, we do have to remind ourselves what Jesus went through for us. For every single person, Jesus allowed himself to be crucified. Before being crucified, he allowed himself to be scourged and beaten beyond recognition. But even before the scourging and being beaten, he allowed himself to live 33 years as we live. He allowed himself to be born. He who doesn't have a beginning, he who is from eternity past and is in eternity future, he's the beginning and the end, the Alpha Omega. Yet he allowed himself to experience life as we experience life, and he's the giver of life. Yet Jesus allowed himself to even feel the pain of somebody else. He allowed himself to even cry, as we'll see in a minute, where Jesus weeps. He allowed himself to experience life the way that we do, the heartache, the hunger, the thirst. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. We have a wonderful and great and all-powerful Savior that loves us very much, and he cares very deeply for us, and he's always there for us, but sometimes he purposely delays his coming to our aid for a purpose. And it's always for a good purpose. Remember, Jesus came to glorify the Father. He came to fulfill the Father's will. And we have to keep in mind that God is always at work according to his sovereign timing. In Galatians 4:4, the Bible says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. At the perfect timing, Christ was born of a virgin in Bethlehem at the moment it needed to be born. Not sooner, not later, but the right time is when the Lord Jesus Christ came, and his second coming will be at the perfect time as well. There's been many times in my life where I have uttered the words in Revelation, "Come quickly, Lord." Just because you see things happening in the world, you just see the hatred, you see the evilness, the wickedness, and sometimes you just want the Lord, "Lord, come quickly." But we know that there is a perfect timing, because God's not willing that any should perish, that all would come to repentance. So there is a time coming when the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ, as the Bible says, will rise, and we will meet the Lord in the air, all the saints of God. So his delay was deliberate. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Verse 4 tells us why in verse 6 he delayed his coming, because he deliberately wanted to glorify God in raising Lazarus from the dead. Again, none of us like hardships. None of us like, really, we don't like to have to wait too long. Again, we all love our microwaves. We love things that we can cook instantly. We don't have to wait a lot of hours. Some things, though, you have to wait for, because the longer you wait for it, the better tasting it is. There's just certain pies. I mean, my daughter makes a wonderful chocolate cream pie, and I try my best to, you know, get my hands in that bowl while she's mixing it, and if I'm not careful, she'll slap my hand, she'll give me this look. I'm like, "What? I just want to taste it. I don't want to eat it," although I do want to eat it. And then she puts it in the refrigerator. I still got to wait. But you know what? That type of waiting, all right, that's worth waiting for, because I've tasted her pie before and it's good. But sometimes when we want God to do something and we're seeking God for something, we want him to act now. We don't want to wait for God. We want God to work on our timetable. And we'll see in a minute where Mary and Martha, they had that same thinking. They wondered why Jesus waited so long. But again, we've always got to remind ourselves that Jesus is all about glorifying the Father, but also doing good in our life. Romans 8:28 reminds us, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Again, the main purpose of us is to glorify God with our life. And God wants to glorify himself through our life. So remember, always keep Romans 8:28 in the forefront of your mind and written on your heart, said everything works together for good to them that love God. Now, unfortunately, somebody that's lost and does not know Jesus Christ, you can't really give them that verse, because they don't know the Lord. They don't love the Lord. But as a child of God, as a born-again believer, as a Christian on their way to heaven, you can memorize this verse, and when something happens in your life, you know that God's going to use it for good, because you love him, he loves you, and he's going to use it for his purpose of glorifying himself and blessing you in a great way. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were about to be blessed beyond measure. Look at verse 17 through 38. I won't read all of these verses, but I'll read a good portion of it as we think about Jesus' passion at Bethany. His passion at Bethany, verse 17 through 38. "Then when Jesus came, he found he, Lazarus, had lain in the grave 4 days already." Remember, when word came to Jesus, Lazarus was sick. Now Jesus comes to Bethany and he's been dead for 4 days. He's been in the tomb for 4 days. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, which is about 2 miles. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And she's referencing the very end. She's referencing where God will resurrect all the saints, where God will send that angel, Gabriel, will send the archangel with the trumpet, makes the sound of the trumpet. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we'll meet the Lord in the air with those that have gone on before us. She's referencing the last day. But notice what Jesus says in verse 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, it's one thing to be strong and powerful, but it's another thing to have all power. And to have, as the Bible says, Jesus has the keys of death and hell. That even though someone may bodily, physically be dead like Lazarus, yet Jesus is life. He's the giver of life. And as he is speaking to Martha, he tells her, I am the resurrection and the life. He has all power. Now, the disciples, when you read in the entire chapter, Jesus reveals a part of his heart to them that they had not seen before. If you were to continue reading, you would see where Jesus wept. He wept when he saw Mary and Martha weeping, when he saw the others weeping. He wept. He is a high priest who has compassion. He is someone who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15 says, For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands. Jesus feels our pain. He weeps with us. He rejoices with us. In John 11, verse 21, the Bible says, Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. In verse 32, Mary comes to Jesus, and Mary says to Jesus as well, the Bible says, Then Mary was come where Jesus was, saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Both of them had faith that if Jesus would have been there, their brother had not died. That's why they sent him a message saying that your friend Lazarus, whom you loveth, he's nigh unto death. And then they go out there, their hearts are broken, their brother has passed on, he's in the tomb, he's been there for 4 days, and they come to Jesus, not belittling Jesus, not having any unfaith, just saying, Lord, if you'd been here, we know that he would still be alive because you would have touched him like you touched Peter's mother-in-law and you healed her from the fever just as you would touch the leper and cleanse him of his leprosy. I mean, like Jesus went around healing people and they knew if Jesus had been there, but nonetheless their hearts were broken because their brother had passed on from his sickness. But we have to always remember that Jesus had not forsaken Lazarus. He had not forsaken Mary and Martha. He experienced the pain and felt the sorrow that they were feeling, and he loved them very much. I want you to look at verse 33 through 36, because sometimes when something happens in our life, the devil wants us to believe that God doesn't care. And there's been plenty of heartaches in my life. With children, with relatives, with people, with church people. And yet God has never been unfaithful in any of those times. And he's never been unfaithful in your life either. In verse 33, the Bible says, When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Verse 35, two very special words. Jesus wept. It just lets us know that Jesus deeply cares. He wept because they were weeping. He wept because Lazarus had passed on, but he knew he was about to live again. He knew that he was going to walk out of that tomb. He knew what was going to happen, but yet he allowed himself to feel like you feel. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." Behold how he loved him. Just let those words sink in. Be reminded of the fact that Jesus does love you. I didn't write the reference down, but I believe it's in Proverbs, it's in Psalms, where the Bible says the death of a saint is precious in the eyes of the Lord. The death of a saint being a child of God, is precious in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because that loved one who may be suffering from cancer is not suffering anymore. The other Christian who may be in a coma and the Lord takes them home to be with them, they're no longer in a coma. The Lord does care. Don't allow yourself to ever believe that God doesn't care because God may be delaying his coming. Because often when somebody is in the hospital, somebody is sick, we pray for them. We pray for God's healing. We pray that God takes away the cancer, that God, gives them a speedy recovery. And sometimes God does, and sometimes God doesn't. And we can never judge God for not answering our prayers the way that we want them to be answered. God is always right. God's always faithful. And God's purpose is always higher than what we expect. Again, Jesus, as it says, behold how he loved him. And oh, the Lord did love him, but he loved his heavenly Father a lot more and wanted the heavenly Father to be glorified. And remember, this is why Jesus delayed his coming. You go back and you look at verse number 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Again, Jesus is always about glorifying the Father, and God wants to be glorified in our lives. It was a painful passion as Jesus watched Mary and Martha weeping. Jesus, his heart was broken as well. But then in verse 33 through 36, the fact is that Lazarus was a dear friend, and Jesus loved this family very much. Jesus was a very good friend. And Proverbs 18 reminds us in verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:7 reminds us, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You think about Mary and Martha as they come to Jesus, both individually. Martha comes first. Then Mary comes. Both of them, as the Bible says, would cast themselves at his feet. They would drop down at his feet and just, they're thankful that he's there. But at the same time, they're telling him, "Lord, if you would have been here, we know you would have touched him and he would have been healed." And when Jesus even says in verse 23 to Martha, "Thy brother shall rise again." You can see Martha's faith because she says, "I know that he shall rise again, the resurrection at the last day." She knows it's not the last time she'll see her brother. She just kind of wishes that Jesus would have showed up a little sooner so she could have some more earthly time with her brother. She wanted to spend some more time with Lazarus. Maybe she even wanted Jesus to come and heal Lazarus because there were some unbelievers in her family that if Jesus would have came and healed Lazarus, they would have seen the miracle and they would have believed on Jesus. But Jesus is about to perform the greatest miracle of all time outside of his own resurrection, outside of himself coming out of the grave. But 1 John chapter 4 verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." Again, when you find yourself doubting, being tempted to doubt, why God is doing what he's doing, cast your care upon the Lord. Let the Lord have your heart. Let the Lord have the thoughts that may be troubling you, the doubt that wants to surround you, and have faith that God knows what he's doing and God is going to do something great because God wants to glorify himself in your life, my life, and bring glory to the Father. In verse 23, again, he says, thy brother shall rise again. Verse 25, he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she's going to respond in the morning saying that she does believe that Jesus is the promised Messiah, that he is the Christ. But what I want us to understand in these verses, in this context where Jesus is speaking, I am the resurrection, the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We often use that to let somebody know that they will live forever with the Lord if they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if there's coming a day that those that have gone on will be resurrected. They'll be resurrected, they'll receive their glorified bodies, but Jesus is not talking about that last day. In verse 24, Martha mentions the last day. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day, but Jesus responds and says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, and Lazarus did believe in Jesus, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus was talking to her on the truth that Lazarus was about to live again. And that brought her hope. That helped her to have hope. Because notice verse 27, she saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary. As soon as she said that, as soon as she got done talking to Jesus and saying, I know that thou art the Christ. I know thou art the Son of God. She runs and to go get Mary. So Mary can come and be comforted by the Lord and receive hope in the Lord. Again, our hope is in the Lord. Every person that puts their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they are looking for that blessed hope. They're looking for the return of Christ. We know that when our life, when our physical body, if the Lord allows it, faces death, it's not the end. There are many people that have no hope. Many people who they think after death, that's it. But aren't you glad tonight that you know that that's not it? That death is just a doorway into eternity? And we will be with the Lord for eternity. We'll be in heaven, that place where there is no more suffering. There's no more death. There's no more weeping. There's no more sin. There's no more evil. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 reminds us, looking for that blessed hope, which is Jesus Christ, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking forward to that day. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, looking for that blessed hope. She runs away to get her sister, having her heart filled with hope. Hearing the words of Jesus when he says, I am the resurrection, the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And in verse 38 through 44, the Bible says, Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And she believes in Christ. She believes what Jesus said. But when Jesus says, roll the stone away, that totally goes against everything that she physically knows. He's dead, and he's been in there 4 days. Things aren't the same as when he first went in. And sometimes, again, when the Lord moves in our heart and wants us to believe by faith, and yet we're faced with reality, the reality is Lazarus is dead. He's been there for 4 days. His body is not the same. And yet, verse 40, Jesus says, "Said not I unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" We're faced with reality. The Lord knows what we're faced with, but yet there's nothing that God cannot do. There's no impossibility that God cannot conquer. With us, we see the impossible. There are those that are there. I mean, it's not just Martha and Mary. There are others that are there. There are others that hear Jesus say, "Remove the stone, roll the stone away." Others, no doubt, that would be thinking the same, like, why does he want the stone rolled away? That makes no sense. There was an account in Scripture where Jairus' 12-year-old daughter had been dead. Jairus came to Jesus and wanted Jesus to come and heal his daughter, but before he could get there, word came back to Jairus that his daughter had passed on. But Jesus said, "Believe only." In Luke chapter 7, a young man who had been dead for hours, Jesus raised from the grave and presented him back to his mother, who would have been a lonely widow with no other son. And then Lazarus, who has been dead for 4 days in the tomb, in this cave. And Jesus says, "Roll the stone away." Again, God's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are greater than our thoughts. In John chapter 11, you look at verse 43 and 44, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. I want you to notice, back up if you would. If you're following along, back up to verse 41, because then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." You know, the Bible reminds us that Jesus intercedes for us. Jesus prays on our behalf. He prays for us. Now, whether you know that or whether you forgot that, your Savior prays for you. And he says, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Now, sometimes we are faced with doubt. Now, Mary and Martha, they've already proven that they believe Christ is the Savior. They believe Jesus is the Son of God. They just don't understand why Jesus waited so long. They sent him word. They don't know why he had to wait so long to come, but they were still fully trusting him. They were still resting on his peace, allowing his peace to encourage their hearts. They take him to the place where their brother has been laid to rest. They even tell Jesus the facts that, well, he's been dead for 4 days. But nonetheless, they have the stone rolled away. Remember the father whose son was possessed with a demon? And the Bible records that this demon would throw the son into the fire or into the water to try to kill the son. The father testified to Jesus, this is what would happen. And Jesus asked the father, because the father said, "I brought my son to your disciples. They couldn't help him." And Jesus said, "Well, do you believe I can help you?" And the father said, "I believe, but help my unbelief." You know, there might be some people there, and I'm sure there are, because not everybody's a believer. Again, like I said, even though Jesus would raise Lazarus from the dead, you read on through this chapter, and the Pharisees gather together. They're bothered at the miracles Jesus does, and then they even talk amongst themselves about killing Lazarus after Jesus raises him from the dead, because they want to get rid of the evidence that Jesus is God. Because everyone's starting to follow Jesus. Everyone's starting to believe on Jesus. because of his teachings, because of the miracles, and the Pharisees were losing their grip on the people. So there are those there that will not believe. The skeptics are there. But God is more concerned about his children who do believe. And he wants their faith to continue to grow. He wants them to continue trusting him, relying upon him, following him, believing that there's nothing he cannot do for us, that he will give us light, he will give us wisdom, discernment, he will guide us according to his will, and we will see great blessings because we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in verse 42, Jesus says, I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 43, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now Jesus raised him from the dead. Jesus simply spoke three words, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. Imagine how shocked the people must have been. I bet Mary and Martha were shocked too. Even though they believed Jesus, yet to see their brother come out of the cave and then for them to take the grave clothes off of him and see that he is completely whole, it's almost unbelievable. But you know what? Again, there's nothing that God cannot do. God's the giver of life. The Bible does say that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Everybody has an appointment with death. Nobody knows when that appointment is. Then we all pray and hope that it's not until we're at least 110. And we've lived life. Because when I was younger, man, if the Lord just lets me allow to be 80, I'll be happy. Now I'm 48. Lord, if you just allow me to be 120, you know, we always want to kind of push it off. But you think about the fact that Jesus, even though it may be kind of hard to believe, like it's kind of hard to believe that a man by the name of Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly and lived to tell the tale, lived to tell the account that's written in Scripture. And again, many unbelievers mock the accounts in Scripture because they're hard to believe. But when you come to know who Jesus Christ is, you come to know God, you come to realize there's nothing God cannot do. If God can create the worlds and speak into existence all the planets, all the animals, everything that this earth contains, and then take man, form him out of the dust of the ground, breathe into him life, and then God sends Jesus Christ to live a sinless life, to die on the cross for our sins so that we can have an abundance of life. What is it that God cannot do? When does God stop loving you? When does God stop watching over you? When does God allow the devil just to do whatever he wants in your life? You never see it in Scripture. The only time you see it in Scripture is with Job, when God wants to show us just how powerful he is and how much the devil has to even obey God, even though he was a rebellious angel who rebelled against the Lord. Let's understand is that Jesus can resurrect anybody, anytime, any day. And someday he will resurrect you and me. We will be with him for eternity. One day, that same voice that called Lazarus out from the dead will call all believers to join him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 reminds us, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that have gone on before us, having put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, they'll rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. You know what? One day we're going to be with the Lord. One day, things that we face in this life that we hope will eventually end, things we face that we wish we weren't facing. Have you ever had a day where you thought, man, I wish this day would end? Or a day where you're like, I wish this day never happened? Or, Lord, can I go back and start over so I can make the right choices through that day so it ends well? And there's coming a day when everything will be made right. But in tonight's account in Scripture, what I want us to understand is if Jesus can raise the dead, not somebody who's just unconscious, not somebody who's in a coma, but someone who was physically dead for 4 days, what is it that he cannot help us with? He has all power. What is it he cannot do for us? Like Mary and Martha, we still have to retain our faith. Lord, I know that you are the Son of God. I know that you are my Redeemer. You are my Savior. And anything I ask in your name, you will do it according to the Father's will to bring honor and glory to the Father. We serve an all-powerful Savior who loves us very much and wants to show us the Father's glory.